Hello and happy Monday, everybody. This is Marty Jalove, the host of Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. Almost forgot the name of the show again. It is Monday o'clock at 7. Okay, we're back to our regular time. Obviously, my brain is not back completely. I'm looking at here, some of the things changed in the studios. It's amazing what switching the hour from 7 to 6 for 2 weeks and then losing an hour because of spring will do to you. But we are live. Here we are. And today, again, we are talking to my good friend, my son, Nate, here, the young businessman, one of the two working men that we want to get on the show every second Monday of the month. And Luke, for the second time, is back down. He couldn't make it. He's the working guy. He's like, no, I got to work. I got to put in the hours.
He's a busy businessman doing business.
Exactly. That is him. That is he. All right. So again, thank you so much for tuning in on Mondays here. You're listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. We come on every single Monday at 7 o'clock here on WRLR.FM or 98.3 The Life. We are talking about business in general, your careers, your job, the businesses that you own, and everything in between. And like I said, this is a special series that we have once a month about young management, what you need to do, where you need to go, some of the lessons you learn. So we're going to be picking your brain, Nate, hoping that you'll give me a lot of questions. But today we're talking about motivation. All right. And motivation is a deep, deep subject.
It is. It's a tricky one.
Yes. Yeah. You've got to be able to motivate not only yourself, but you've got to motivate your peers. You've got to motivate the people who answer to you. And sometimes you've got to motivate the people above you to
Absolutely.
Move forward. Okay. So today's going to be a fun show. So we talk about a lot of different things. I have regular guests every week who specialize in certain things. And so I'm really anxious always about this type of a program where we can really dig down deep inside. A lot of times the owners of companies get involved in something and they forget to communicate with their regular staff. They forget how to communicate with real empathy and genuine concern. A lot of times many of the owners and managers are so focused on the future and where the company is going that they forget the army of people they've got working, pushing them forward. So that's what we're going to talk about a little. Like I said, motivation, how we move this forward, how we make it successful. So, Nate, you want to introduce yourself more than I just did? Is there anything more that you'd like to say that so the world can know exactly who you are? I'm noticing you're glancing off into the green room there. There's a young lady in the green room who refuses to come in here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I got my beautiful wife here in the studio with us, and we'll get her on the show eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a work in progress.
She's acting like she can't hear us.
I know.
Okay.
It's okay. It's always good to have an audience.
That's true.
So no, I work for a trucking company in the area, and I'm mid-level management, so I get to deal with all the joys of upper management having expectations, but also the as you said, the army of the workforce beneath me.
Sure.
And motivating them and dealing with them on a daily basis and just kind of helping push towards the goal set for us by
the
leaders of the company.
Right. The leaders are supposed to set those initial goals, those areas to say, as an empire, this is what we want to do. This is our short-term goals. These are our long-term goals. And then you as a manager have to, Jen, take a look at this and say, what can my department do? What can we do? What are the goals I'm going to set for myself and my people so that we can reach our goals, which then will help the company reach their goals?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's a constant thing. A lot of people just say, I want to get a job where I just come in and do my job, do my work, finish it and go home. And yes, there are a lot of jobs that have that, but management is not necessarily one of those.
It is not. It never will be.
And you've realized that quickly.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So what made you aspire into management? What made you think, I want to jump into this as opposed to being, the guy on the road or the guy who's just saying, you know, just give me the orders. Let me do my thing. Let me collect my paycheck and go home. What was the thing that really, that you would say was one of the driving forces to say, I want something a little different, a little more?
Honestly, one of the driving forces was management was never something that I saw for myself, but just in every job that I've had, I've aspired to rise to the top. And I've kind of pushed and pushed and pushed because I always try to better myself. And in doing so, you eventually start pushing into the ranks of management.
Sure, sure.
It in this situation, in the position that I currently have, I was moved from more of a an army situation. You know,
okay.
I was just one of the working class.
Okay.
That.
Well, don't say just one of the working class. Well, let's not do that. I mean, because they're the backbone. They're the ones who are really doing the work sometimes, right? Yeah. There you go. I don't want anyone. You go back to work going, what do you mean just the working class? And I know you don't mean that.
It was a situation where I was more put into a management role, even though it would not have been my first choice.
Okay.
I was perfectly happy where I was, and I was given an option of either you kind of step into this or you don't work here anymore.
Gotcha.
And so as time continued and opportunities opened up to move up higher, I saw the void and I was like, this is something I can do. This is something I can actually be good at, and stepped into it.
Okay.
And so in doing so, the just learning the different types of motivation, and that, you know, some people respond one way versus other people another way. There's no recipe or one set way to handle motivation. Everybody responds a little bit differently, and you have to have a relationship and build that with the people you are trying to motivate.
Correct.
So that you can kind of tailor make what you are trying to get them to accomplish.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. You've got to understand your people, and this is where empathy comes into play. You've got to have real clear communication with your people to understand what motivates them. More so, you have to understand what motivates you. Sometimes what we do is we find the thing that motivates us, that pushes us. Like maybe we're the type of person who needs the recognition. We need a trophy. We need a pat on the back. We need something like that. And then we automatically assume everyone is motivated that way.
Right.
You know, sometimes you're the type of guy who goes, hey, throw me the money. You show me money. You show me bonuses. I'm gonna run through fire for you. And then
absolutely.
And then again, we assume everyone is that way. So it's important to first off understand ourselves, what motivates us. And then through communication, talking with your people and really understanding them, you find out that, like you said, they're all individuals, and what pushes one person actually pushes maybe someone else away.
Right.
So what you've got to do is you've got to find that thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful.
Oh, that's huge.
That is an enormous step that so many managers have no clue. There's a lot of owners that have no clue about that. So that's just an amazing thing that you understand it completely. So before we just really dive into this, I want to remind everyone. So on Bacon Bits, what we do is we understand that everything is just a little bit better with bacon in it. And I'm not talking about the bacon for chewing.
Talking about the bacon for doing.
There you go. Awesome. Nice. Thank you for that. So what we're doing is we apply the acronym BACON to the problem or the topic we're talking about. And today, since we're talking about the mystery of motivation for young managers, we're doing the same thing, BACON. And so I'm going to read through these, and then we'll come back to the beginning, and we'll start talking about these, maybe share some stories, get some ideas on how we can go about doing this, okay?
I'm all ears.
Excellent. So B is this, building trust. This is the number one thing. You can't lead people if they don't trust you.
Absolutely.
All right. A is aligning expectations. Okay. In other words, really making sure that you're not vague. You're really clear with your expectations, and their expectations are aligned with yours. Yours are aligned with the company's. C is creating a supportive environment, letting them know that you got their back and you're hoping they have your back. All right. Very, very important to understand. O is offering rewards and recognition. You got to make sure that they feel that they're being noticed. Okay. And then finally, N is nurturing a personal and professional growth, okay? So what you're doing is you're talking to your people to say, I want more for you than just your productivity for this week. I want you to grow into the person you want to become. So that's the BACON that we'll be talking about today. So I'm going to jump right into this first part about building trust, okay? So the toughest part about building trust as a young leader is you've got people sometimes older than you, more experienced, more hours at the place, more years at the place. They feel they're more experienced. They know how to do the job. And it's really, really tough for a young leader to walk in and saying, we're going to do it this way, when these other people are going to sit back and go, nope, that's not the way to do it. This is a much better way. Okay. So have you run into any problems like that? Any problems that, again, you can go, no, my team is aces, baby.
No, I think that's a really important distinction. It's an important thing to see. And a lot of, there's always the stereotype involving, you know, we've heard the age old tale of the young leader, be it a lieutenant in the military coming in, yep, trying to tell the old sergeants how to do their job.
Right.
Or the young manager coming in where somebody has 20 years of experience and they're trying to tell them what to do. And I think the biggest thing is just when you are first moving into that role, is you have to be incredibly open-minded.
Yes.
You have to listen. You have to hear what they're saying, but also make the people who are talking feel like you hear what they're saying. You Perfect. Can't just yep. go, yeah, and then we're going to do it my way.
Right, right.
Because the thing is, you have to remember and you have to recognize they have been doing this for 20 years, and there's a reason they've been doing it for so long.
Exactly.
They might not be moving in the direction that the company currently wants to, but they have been moving in that direction for a very long time. And whether how good or bad they are in comparison to what the company's current plan is doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong. And they have infinite knowledge. And so if you can sit there and make them feel heard and take what they're saying, but then shape it and help move it in the direction that it needs to be, It will just give you infinite possibilities because they've been there. They've dealt with
yes,
it.
Yes.
Any scenario you encounter, they've probably seen before. And whether or not they handled it in a way that you agree with, they did handle it, and they can probably tell you why they handled it that way.
Excellent. Man, Nate, you came today ready to roar, huh?
Oh, I'm ready to roar.
All right. So I'm loving everything you're saying, and I want to add to this, is this idea of, as a manager, I agree with you. You got to pull them into the conversation. But one of the things is that you can't let them railroad. You can't let them run you over. So I want you to learn, and I want the young managers, everyone, to learn about anchoring to your expertise. In other words, saying, this is what I'm really good at. And because I'm good at this, the owners of this company saw something in me saying that you're the person that I'm choosing to lead this team. Okay? It's not to say that anyone else on the team is less. They happen to be really, really good at that job.
Right.
Okay? But not everyone can do every job. So the owners of the company have said, we want you to lead the team. We want you to motivate this team. And you've got to say, these are my qualities. These are the things I'm really good at. It's not to say you're going to say, I'm better than everyone else at this.
Right.
I'm really good at this. And recognize what your team is good at and saying, this is what I need to do. I need to give you the tools so those things you're really good at, you can get even better at.
Yes.
Okay, so you do that. And then the other thing is be consistent. Okay, there's nothing that hurts a young leader worse than not being consistent.
Right.
If you're throwing out one rule the next day, yeah, we're not going to do that. And somebody pushes you, you're like, all right, let's try that. Let's do something different. If you don't know what you're going to do, if you can't develop that consistency, say, let's keep running forward in this direction.
Right.
If you do that, eventually they will follow you.
Right.
So it's really important to do both of those things. I think this is already great about this idea of building trust. What's the what would you say is some of the other difficult parts of getting somebody who's whether they're older than you in actual years or they're just more experienced than you? Is one of those things of, how do you get them to actually say, I trust you, we'll do something different, something I've never done before, but you said it, so I'll do it?
I think part of that comes from, you like we said, we start with you making them feel heard. So you say, I respect your opinion.
Okay, you're right there. Don't die in
yeah.
here. Okay.
I respect the way you've done things, but encouraging them to try a new idea and not necessarily saying that it's better. If you put it up as better than whatever they're doing, or that you can kind of get contention and friction. But if you do it as, hey, let's give this a try. This is different. I understand that it's different. And a lot of times it's uncomfortable. People don't like change. And the longer you've been in a position, the less open to it you are.
That is so true.
And so if you can spin the change, or if you can find a way to either, one, make it look like maybe their workload will be lightened a little bit.
Okay.
Or it's going to make them seem better. And it sounds kind of shallow, but everybody wants to be doing something that's going to make themselves look a little bit better.
Certainly.
That's, yeah. And so if you can spin it as a, look, this is going to be a little bit easier for you, potentially, and this is something that might also give you a little bit more props, a little more kudos. People be like, oh, wow, you did that? You executed
right,
that?
Right.
If you can kind of start swinging them in that way, and you can't just tell them that. You got to be careful how you pitch the ideas.
Sure. But
that will be big in just kind of getting them to do it. And then the other thing too is, if it doesn't go well, let them know that you're going to take ownership,
right,
for it. You know, a big thing that I try to do with my team is, if you are acting under my instructions and it goes poorly, I will never flip that back onto you. I will stand in the line and say, hey, this was my idea. It didn't work.
Under my watch, yeah.
And people are more willing to try it.
You know,
if they're thinking, if it goes poorly, he's going to blame us, or they're going to blame us for it going wrong, they're less willing to.
I agree with you.
Kind of try something new. But if you go, look, you do what I say and it goes well, we did it together as a team.
There you go.
You do what I say and it went poorly, I'll take the fall and go, yeah, that was a rough call on my part.
You have to be able to say, yeah, under my leadership, right, we failed on this one.
Right.
But don't forget, you also have to, in private, talk to that person saying, you screwed up. You made a mistake.
Absolutely.
Here. Okay.
Yeah.
You're answering to me, and so let's move forward. Let's learn from these mistakes.
Right.
Okay, that's what's really important. Don't take every mistake, because, you don't want them to take advantage of you in the long run either.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, this is cool. So I want to move into this next one. This is building. That's the first part, building trust. And we've been talking a little bit about this, touching on the idea of aligning expectations. And this is what the problem is when you are vague about the goals. Okay.
Oh.
Communication is so tricky because
it's crucial.
Yeah, because sometimes when you say, hey, this is what we're going to end up doing, and they come back and go, well, that's what you told me to do. And you're like, no, that is not what I told you to do. I told you this. Oh, I thought you meant this. You got to be clear upfront, really, really tight. And one of the ways to do that is, you know, you've played that phone game, right? Where you a party game.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, where one person whispers in your ear and you whisper to the next person, they whisper to the next person. By the time it gets to the last person, it's completely different. And the same thing happens at work.
Right.
The owner comes to a manager, or, you know, the owner comes to the VP and says, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to do ABC. The VP goes to the manager and goes, yeah, you know, what we want to do is we want to do BCD. Okay. Then the manager goes to his supervisors and he says, all right, you know, make sure that you do DBA. Okay. And those guys go to their bottom line, or the workers, and say, all right, everyone's going FGH. Right.
Right.
And it's, everyone has great intentions, but the communication's not there.
Right.
So one of the things I really push people into is building, for lack of a better term, the company Bible, the task list, the procedures for what has to happen. And it starts with you as the manager writing the purpose of it,
right,
saying we have one task to do. It's not just take the garbage out on Tuesdays. It's the purpose. The reason we take the garbage out on Tuesdays is because they pick up garbage Wednesday morning. If we leave the garbage overnight and try to take it out Wednesday morning, we'll miss the garbage. So we tell them the purpose, not just the duty.
Right.
Okay.
That's big.
That is very big.
That is something I've been battling with the past like 2 3 weeks. Is I've had
the garbage.
I've been going, this is, you know, this is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. But then I realized they didn't understand why we needed it.
Exactly. And so they base all their decisions on assumptions.
Right.
All right. And so then what I need you to do is, the next step, which is really crucial, is once you tell them the purpose, have them write the obstacles, have them write the hurdles, the problems, okay? Saying, well, I can't bring the garbage out on Tuesday nights because of this, this, and this. By the end of the day, it's too late. I don't want to bring it out. There's raccoons out there, whatever the deal is. Let them write the arguments, the hurdles, the obstacles, the problems with that. And then the two of you get together and say, how do we overcome those obstacles?
That's really big. I really like that.
Because what's important about that is, this stops you from assuming they know something, and it stops you from assuming they know how to handle the obstacles.
Yeah.
So they come up with the obstacle, they come to you, and then the next thing is going to be give them ownership of that book.
Right.
And you say, I'm not writing the book. I'm telling you the purpose of the tasks. Now it's your responsibility to take care of it.
Right.
It's your responsibility to keep it updated. It's your responsibility to notify people when we make changes in here, and to ask other people about what other hurdles come up so we can add it to the book.
Good.
Okay. And understand also that book evolves. It is ever changing. Never think that book is done.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So you're
the number one thing that bothers me is when somebody's like, "This is how we've always done it."
That
might have been the right thing 20 years ago, but it might not be now.
That's right.
Maybe the raccoons come out at noon now. We can't take the trash out at noon. You know, you have to.
Yes. And so there are plenty of closed businesses that say that this is the way we always did it. And that's why we're closed. Right.
Right.
And so I want you to think about this. Remember, I told you it's the phone game. So you'll absolutely love this, Nate. So I told you it's the phone game. So think about this. It's the purpose, the hurdles, someone ownership, notify people of changes, and E is the evolution. It's always evolving. So remember, the P-H-O-N-E is phone. That's how you write those books, all right, is understand that. Nick, it's everyone involved in it, and everyone understands these are the five major problems with writing that book, of the how-to book at your company.
And I think the handing off the ownership is big, too.
Yep.
Because then it's something that, one, they can take pride of, but two, it takes away excuses.
Yes.
As you said, you set the expectations, but then you also put the execution in their hands.
Right.
And said, okay, this is what I expect, but you tell me how to execute it. And you provide the supervision over it. But then if they aren't executing, you said, look, you said to take the trash out at noon because there's no raccoons.
Yeah.
You're still not taking the trash out at noon. Why not?
Right. Exactly.
You said this was the way to do it. And they have to own it because it's their Bible.
Right, right. And what's beautiful, from now on, when they come to you with the, hey, Nate, I don't know how to do this, the first thing you say is it in the book? Did you check the book? And if they go, oh, man, let me check the book. Oh, yeah, it is in the book. Not only is it in the book, but they put it in the book.
Right.
Because they own it, okay? And when you are the person who's writing it in the book yourself, being the one who's putting it in there, you have a better chance of remembering it.
Right.
Okay. And so,
yeah.
And if it's not in the book, they go, how do we do this? Is it in the book? We look, no, it's not in the book. All right. How would you solve this problem?
Right.
Let's work it through, come up with all the kinks, and let's put it in the book.
Yeah.
And that's what ends up happening. And that to me is you create that Bible, that workbook for a successful company. That is such a strong and essential thing that owners, managers take a laissez-faire attitude towards it. Since we were talking French earlier, what ends up happening is we look at it and we go, yeah, we're going to make that owner's manual. Just do this, 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 and this.
Right.
And you're like, no, you got to go dig deeper into it.
Right.
Because people will start putting post-it notes in there. They'll start ripping out pages and stuff like that. And then a year down the line, that book is worthless.
Right.
So you have to have, someone's got to own it. Someone's got to notify people of changes, and everyone's got to understand that it constantly evolves.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So, with this is, like I was saying, some of the challenges on this vagueness trap, that's what I'm going to call it, is when you're communicating. The ways to compete or beat that is, we just talked about involving the team in the discussions, getting them involved, because the more they can get involved, the better. The more that you can tell them, hey, we've got a new policy, a new way to do this, I'm teaching you, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to sit and watch you teach someone else.
Right.
Man, because when you teach someone, it's embedded in your brain forever.
Right.
Because not only did you have to learn it, you had to understand it in such a way that you can share that information with someone else.
It's in a way, it's almost like learning a different language.
Yes.
You know, just like anybody who, you know, whatever their first language is versus their second language, whenever they hear that second language, they have to translate it back into the first language. Just like when you're teaching, you learned everything one way. But for you to be able to articulate it is completely different, and it involves an entirely different part, because somebody might say, well, why?
Right.
Why do you do it like that? And you have to have that answer.
And you have to understand it in a very deep way. Perfect, perfect. The other thing is with this, what I love is SMART goals.
Absolutely.
And, is to be able to, and you understand what the SMART, S-M-A-R-T stands for. And that's really important. Because when we give people goals or missions or tasks and we say, we need you to do this, you have to align those other things. They've all got to be involved. Now, it's funny. I'm a married man, too. You know Christy.
Right.
And so what happens is we have deadlines in our heads that float around, and they're two different deadlines. So if she says, hey, can you take the trash out? My answer is, yes, I can. Because I am able to take the trash out. That is not what she meant. She meant, can you take the trash out right now? I sit back and I go, well, I don't need to take the trash out right now. I'm doing something else. And in an hour, I'll go take the trash, or I'll take the trash out tomorrow morning as I'm on my way out. I'm thinking of all of that. In the meantime, she's sitting here thinking, why isn't he taking the trash out? Because I asked him to, and he said yes. So it's so important to set some type of a deadline. Yes. When you say, here's the task. Can you take the trash out? Yes, I can. All right. The time bound. When will you take the trash out? I need the trash taken out by this time. Okay. And then I can argue, well, it doesn't have to go out by this time. Maybe I'll take it out in the morning. Okay. Now I understand that you're going to do that. It's completely understandable.
Right.
There's no confusion anymore. So the deadline, just adding a deadline to a task.
It changes everything.
Clears it up in immense ways. And it's amazing. Just that simple thing. You know, in a business standpoint, you're going to do all SMART, which is be really specific. It's the goal is measurable. It's attainable. You're going to give them something that's actually that they can actually do. Measurable, so you can say, I said measurable, so they can say, hey, it's over. R is going to be relevant. It makes sense to do. We're not wasting time, and then T is time bound.
Right.
Okay, so it's really important to do all of that in business. But even in our home life, there's so much power in just saying, will you do this? Okay, when do you need me to do this by?
Right.
Okay, because, hey, can you change this light bulb? Okay, I will. I just, in my time frame, it's going to be the next 6 months.
Right, yeah. Whenever I make it out to the garage or wherever the light bulbs are, exactly. I bring it back in with me.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So by just adding a time frame, a date, stamp it with a time, whatever changes everything.
And I think a quick thing, too, is just with young managers, when you're kind of in that flex between upper management pushing something down, if upper management does not give you that, ask for it.
Yes.
That's something completely. I was in a meeting earlier last week, and they said, I need these things by this time. And they gave me three items, and they were time bound, and the last one wasn't. And before I left the meeting, I said, hey, when do you want this one?
Right.
Because I don't want this to be a conversation Friday at 3:30 when I'm trying to leave for the day.
Yeah.
And you expected it by end of week, but also I'm not going to put the time into dealing with that right now.
If you need it's 6 months, needed, right? Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. So it's part of the whole managing up and managing down.
Completely. All right. So we're going to come back after just a couple little messages from some people who absolutely love the station here, because we're going to get back because I want to get into the letter C, O, and N. This has really been a very great conversation already. So here we go. And we are back. Thank you so much for tuning in to WRLR.FM 98.3, The Life. You are listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove, and our guest today is Nate Filippelli, my special, my son here, the working man. We're talking about what it's like to be a young entrepreneur, a young manager moving forward in a company, trying to drive a company towards success. This is an ongoing series every second Monday of the month throughout the entire year, and we'll see where we go from there. You know, by that time, who knows? He might own the company, might be running the company, might run his own company. Who knows what life has to bring? So, Nate, where we left off, I don't know if you remember, is we did the B and the A, which is B, building trust, which is really important for a young manager to build trust amongst his peers. And obviously, your bosses, the owners of the companies, have to trust you. A is aligning expectations. That's talking about building that strong communication, not being vague, being very specific about what we talk about. We talked a little bit about SMART goals and involving your team in making decisions. The other thing I just wanted to add in there really quickly before we get to the letter C is adaptability, being really adaptable.
Yes.
Okay? Because sometimes you know this, and I've heard you on the phone. I hear you solving problems on the phone. You're probably one of the most adaptable people I know. All right, and that is, just because you have rules set a certain way to do certain things at a certain time, do A and then B and then C, sometimes something incredible happens and stops us from doing one of those things. So you've got to adapt to what the life throws at you.
Absolutely.
Right? You don't have any problems like that, do you?
Oh, no, never.
All right. So letter C is this, creating a supportive environment. All right. And this is the challenge is fostering resilience. What's tough about it is it's easy for us to talk in the studio about this. We go, oh, that's a really good idea. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Oh, I like that. What about this? Oh, that's great. That's easy to do. The tough thing is to go into the office and actually do it. The tough thing is going in the next day when you've got resentment and resistance. And the tough thing is continue going and going. And when something fails and you've got to bring it back and say, all right, that failed. Let's turn around and do something different. It's tough to keep going at it because as we go uphill, you know, your people complain to you. They're like, hey, I don't like this. I don't like this. You only can complain uphill, right? And sometimes the people above you don't want to hear complaints either. So sometimes you got to take it home and take it out on the dog, right?
Absolutely.
So C is, like I said, creating a supportive environment, all right? And I think it's really important. Three things I want to talk about, and I want you to think about this, is mentorship programs, either for yourself or for your people, empowering decision-making, giving them, your people, some decisions, some power to make some decisions, still with you giving the final word. And the other thing is respect for a work-life balance, okay? If you choose to put in those extra hours, you might ask your people, but you have to understand that they have lives too. And they're not everyone is working for the job. Not everyone their passion is towards the brand or towards that personal growth. Sometimes people work for a paycheck.
Right.
So you've got to balance that work-life balance. So first thing I'm going to do is just kind of get your feedback in general on fostering that supportive environment. How do you make sure that your people feel that they're being heard and they're supported?
I think a big one is celebrating good ideas and celebrating wins.
Nice.
A big thing for me is if one of...
You're jumping right into O, which is offering rewards and recognition, but that's okay.
Yeah. No, if someone comes up with an idea and it's either in line with what I was thinking or completely out of the box, but I can look at it and immediately go, this works. This is the move. Right away, you want to tell them, hey, that's a great idea. And I, a lot of times, will try to tell them, hey, this is something I would not have thought of doing.
Right.
Because for my team to be good, I want them to think of things that I hadn't thought of. I want it to be an environment, a think tank.
Okay.
Whatever it is, I want, if we're all thinking on the same page, we might not be thinking in the best line for the company. You want to have multiple different ideas coming in so that you can sit there and analyze them and go, okay, this is going to be the best solution.
Okay.
So encouraging them to think maybe outside of the norm is a big one. And then if it doesn't work, explaining why it doesn't, so that it's not just them feeling immediately shut down.
Right,
if you can't just...
That's big. That follows through.
Hey, I see where you're going with this, but given this, this is why it won't work in this situation. Be specific. It might work a different time. In this moment, this is not going to be the right move.
Yeah, I always say you got to come back with one of three answers. And that is, yes, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's implement it right now. Two is, that sounds like a good idea. It doesn't fit right now. Let's shelve it and let's see if we can do it later. Or number three, that's against our brand. We can't do that for whatever reason.
Right.
But you got to give them that feedback if you ever expect them to give you any solutions or ideas in the future.
And a lot of times they'll have stuff that just wasn't even on your radar because it might not be what you're specialized in. Each of the members of my team have their own area of expertise, if you will.
Definitely. Yeah.
I have a rough overdraft of all of them.
Right. But it's important to understand, you're building like the Marvel Avengers.
Right.
Okay. Each of them have their own superpowers, their own strengths and weaknesses. And so what you want to do is you want to help them grow with those strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You want to see if you can turn around some of their weaknesses, but you definitely want their strengths to become even better.
And you do not want to stifle any of their creativity or any of their thinking. Like I don't want a team of people that go, oh, this is how Nate thinks, so this is how I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
I hate that.
That idea. Yeah. I want you to pick up something and say, that makes sense to me. I can make that work. I can make that part of me. Okay. And I can grow and adapt and evolve into something that's part of it. But that doesn't mean you can do everything.
Right.
Okay. And I think it's important to understand that your manager should voice that. I don't expect you to be a carbon copy of me. I expect to lead, and I want you to emulate some of the good things, but I also want you to do it in your own way.
Yep.
Okay? There's something called like the MAP idea, MAP. Obviously, I love acronyms.
It is your thing.
Exactly. This is sometimes the only way I can remember these things, but it makes a lot of sense, is that what you first do is you get people to master something.
Okay.
All right, you give them all the information. That's the M. You give them all the information they need, all the tools that they need, the mentoring, everything. till they get to a point where they're mastering it, right?
Right.
Then you move to A, autonomy. In other words, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to let you tweak this and kind of add your own spin to this and get really good at it. If it's going downhill, we got to go back to mastery. You got to understand what's going on. So you're jumping back and forth between that. But eventually, it's this autonomy where it just becomes part of me. And this is why I'm so good at this one thing, because I've learned everything and I'm adding something from my soul into the job, right?
Right.
But like everything, all those steps get boring.
Right.
Okay. If we love pizza, but if I had to eat pizza every single day for the rest of my life, I would get sick and tired of pizza.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what happens is, by the time they're getting tired of mastery, like, I got this, I understand, now it seems silly, I'm doing the same thing over and over again, before they start making a mistake, that's when you give them autonomy. Say, go ahead, tweak it a little.
Right.
When they start to get bored, or it becomes so redundant, the thing they're doing in this autonomy, this is when you give them P, which is purpose and passion. Okay. And you tell them, dig down deep inside. What's the purpose behind this? You're changing the world. You're doing something really important. You're delivering things that sometimes are feeding families. You might be saving lives. You're delivering stuff that people are using to build great things. All right. And give them a passion for what they do.
Right. Now, I got a question. Let's say you got somebody that you've moved to autonomy.
Yes.
And you go and you realize maybe there's a key point that you thought they had mastered, if you will. And you go, wait a minute, we need to rewind a little bit. How do you start that conversation? How do you do it without you know, destroying everything that they've done?
Right,
because you've moved them forward, and now you go, hey, we got to take a step back. How do you get them to take that step back?
Yeah. Now, without destroying them.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, it's not like you're giving them a ribbon.
Right.
And you're saying, you've mastered, now you're on autonomy. And then once you get the autonomy ribbon, you go to purpose. It's not that. What has to happen is, it could be a small part where we're like, hey, we want you to run with this. You can go back to them at any point in time and saying, hey, you know what? It seems like we're missing this. Now, remember when we talked about this? This is really important for our overall message, for the purpose of the company to do this. And I notice you're not doing that. Is it because you think there's a better way, or is it because you didn't truly understand how important that was to us?
Oh, that's good.
And you just ask them, because what you want to do is you want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Maybe they've looked at it and they said, I don't understand it completely. This is silly. I'm going to do it this way because this seems more efficient.
Yep.
And during that conversation, you might suddenly go, maybe that is more efficient.
Right.
And maybe I'm stuck in it because maybe without knowing it, maybe I'm the one with the whole, well, this is how we've always done it attitude.
Yeah. Oh, okay? and that's important to consider.
Exactly. So we've got to be able to open. But there's no reason you can't have open conversations with them on a regular basis. And this is why I drive home the idea of a weekly meeting with each one of your people, one-on-one.
Okay.
If not every 2 weeks. Okay. Once you start spreading it further than that, that's giving the message to them that I don't have time to talk to you. Just do your job. Right. Instead, I want to talk to you. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear the problems, the potential solutions. I want to hear what's going on out in the street. I want to congratulate you on good things. That's what's important about that, because then you will nip that in the bud early if they are doing something. Hey, I'm doing it this way. You might go, oh, no, don't do it that way.
Right.
I love your enthusiasm, but we got to do this. Are you forgetting to do this? Or don't forget to do this. Okay, so it's really important, and that'll come in those meetings. If you give them free rein and you don't talk to them for a year, then it's on you.
Right.
If they screw up.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Because you allowed them to.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So during that whole thing, and just like I said, writing that Bible, you're empowering them to make some decisions. That's part of that autonomy stage of going, well, you know what? This is the end goal. Remember, this is the purpose, to get this done, deliver this material from here to here, right?
Right.
This is what I view as the best laid plan, the best roads to take, the streets to take, you know, the speed to drive, everything like that. But I trust you. Because you've learned everything I could teach you, and you've learned maybe there's something else that you know. Maybe you can teach me, so go for it. And you give them some freedom. And that in itself wakens something in people. And they're like, wow, this is awesome. All right, I am going to try it. And if they fail, you don't punish them for failing. What you do is say, all right, you failed. What did we learn from this?
Right.
Okay, and let's move forward. So let's go back to the original plan and make it work from there. Cool that we tried something different. Because we tried it with the idea that this is going to be better for the company.
Yes.
Okay? So that's cool. All right. So with that, you empower them to make some decisions, empower them to make some mistakes, and then also give them that freedom, that work-life balance. man, everybody, if you work them to the bone, what ends up happening is you get a bunch of bony employees.
Right.
You know? So you got to be able to tell them, celebrate life a little bit.
Right.
Go out and enjoy the time. You know, take some time off. You haven't been on a vacation for a long time. Do you need a vacation? Take the time. You haven't had a day off. Go and take the time off. You know, you got to do that.
And I think something too, though, is in your job descriptions and your job titles, you need to clearly outline the expectations.
Yes.
Too, because if you bring somebody in and in your mind, you're expecting this person to, you know, let's say they just work one weekend a month.
Yes.
Right. And the rest of the time you respect the work-life balance. But if you don't have that defined and then they don't want to work that one weekend a month.
Right.
You have to go, okay, this is an expectation. I'm giving you this time. We are respecting your work-life balance, but also these are our expectations.
Yes. Yes.
And you got to, there has to be a clear line
right
between those.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, because you got to lay it out. This is your job description. Right. These are the things that have to be done. These are the priorities. These are the things you got to get to first, second, third, etc. This is the time frame that these things, we expect these things to get into. If you can get the stuff done, man, then yeah, go celebrate.
Right.
But they've got to think, every employee, every manager, every owner has got to think of what's the success for the company. That's our common goal. All right. And the sooner employees and managers, etc., can get the idea out of their head that I'm here for my personal success.
Right.
That is down the line. That's secondary or third in the line. Right. Number one is the success of the company. It's got to be the success of the company. All right. If I'm working for a place and it's all about me, 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 me. All right. If I got an employee like that, I'm letting that person go.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I need him to make the company succeed. If I am a manager and I have a department, what's going to happen is my goal, the company succeeds. My people, their number one goal, the company succeeds. Their secondary goal is my department succeeds.
Right.
Their third goal is they succeed.
Absolutely.
And that's what you got to understand, and you got to keep driving that home. And sometimes you got to tell people that's what it's about. And if they're like, nah, that's not what it's about, you got to get them to understand that.
Right.
Or you got to get them out of there.
Right.
Okay. And that's another tough pill to swallow. It's tough because you might have somebody there forever and they may say, no, I'm here for myself. And you got to explain to them, you know what? You've been here for 15 years.
Right.
You love this company. You wouldn't do anything to hurt it. You're saying you're here for yourself, but I know you're passionate about the company.
Yeah.
You're passionate about the brand, the owners, our mission, et cetera.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that goes in there, but that all is in that communication.
Yeah.
Okay. So so let me see. So that was the O, right? That was that was the O. Off, was it? Yeah.
I think we still got the O to go through.
Oh, that's right. See, yeah. I got too many pages here, man. I'm throwing myself up. I'm flipping through here.
Overprepared.
Yeah, O is overprepared.
Yeah.
No, O is offering rewards and recognition. I think that's what was throwing me, is we talked a lot about that kind of thing throughout the whole show, explaining that you can't just say, everyone gets a pat on the back. It's Friday. Here's a pat on the back. Here's a hearty handshake in your paycheck. Great job today. Okay. Because somebody's going to go, really? Great job. What did I do? And you're like, you showed up, right? And you did your job. Yeah. That's why I get a paycheck. But you said, great job. You said something like I did something extra.
Right.
Okay. And so what you got to do with this, when you're telling someone that they're shining and you love what they're doing, is highlight the value of what they did.
Right.
Not just what they did, but what the value. You did something absolutely amazing, and this is the value that you brought to the company. Okay. That's what is so incredible about it. Okay. You got to be very specific with your praise. Okay. And lastly is be personal with your praise.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that noise was. That was interesting. It's like a cow walked through the studio. what I mean about being personal, let me just jump in here and then I want to hear your take on this, is I always talk about I praise in public and I criticize in private, right? But I also want us to understand it's good to praise in private too.
Yes.
Okay, because I need to say, hey, you know, John, you remember I just mentioned to everyone that you did a great job and I just wanted to let you know that was really, really incredible what you did. You added so much value to the company. Okay. It means a lot to us. That kind of stuff doesn't go unnoticed.
Right.
And thank you very much. And you do that in private because then it makes it personal. It's not just
right.
And now it's 10 o'clock. Now I have to say something nice about everybody.
Yep. And they feel less like you were obligated to do it, and they feel more like it was sometimes a quick phone call after the workday. You're just like, hey, just real quick, I know you're
doing your
thing, but I just want to tell you, you killed it today.
Yes.
I mean, you bailed me out of a situation or whatever you did, and that is huge. And they'll take more from that. Everybody likes to be praised and
praised. Right. Yeah, yeah.
But that little personal bit that you took time out of your day just to pull them aside, that'll go just
miles. Yes. Completely right. And when you're very specific about it.
Yes.
I love the way you did this. And the reason I love this is because you added value to the company.
Right.
Okay. You just did that one little thing. And sometimes it could be as simple as this. Hey, I was sitting near the window. I looked out and I saw you walking from your car to the office, and you stopped and you picked up a piece of paper that was sitting in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, most people would say, no big deal. Who the hell cares? The wind would come by and blow it away. But what you did was you decided somewhere deep inside you, you said, I want to work in a nice environment. So I'm going to do this extra bit to help make sure that our environment is clean and tidy.
Taking pride in the brand.
Exactly. Exactly. Huge. That's enormous.
Because it speaks to what is in that person's mind, where their priorities are. And as a manager, when you recognize that and you see that, it just really, it builds something inside of you. Like, I get excited when I see stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's that little thing that when they do that, they're like, oh, well, that just, and then of course I'm going to do that. Yes. Yes, of course you're going
to
do that.
And that's why I appreciate you. Yes. That's what makes you so special to the organization.
Yes, exactly.
I think a big thing too is if you are sometimes too general in your praise, it becomes expected.
Yes.
They're just like, well, of course he's going to say that.
Right.
We know we're the best.
Right.
You know, so the being specific and the, you know, I appreciate you for this is going to go way farther. But then also it's not just like, well, of course he's going to, oh, we're doing amazing. We're incredible.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and then it's like, okay, Nate, the meeting's almost over. Say something nice about me.
Yes.
You know, as they're looking at watch.
Exactly.
It's kind of like now it's lost its luster.
Right.
And so remember the first episode, which was last month,
right,
when I gave you that idea of the bacon meeting, the BACON, and it ends with N standing for a notable win.
Right.
Sometimes what happens is I can notice something about you and I see you did something, but I also want to ask people, tell me something in the past week since I talked with you last. Tell me something you're really proud of.
Right.
All right. And when they mention it to you going, oh my gosh, I wish I would have seen that. I didn't even know you did that. Thank you so much. That's incredible. And I think that is so strong because I've seen times where one employee is doing nice, wonderful things, and maybe they're doing it in front of their boss's eyes.
Right.
Either on purpose or an accident, but the boss sees it. And there's another person who's doing great things, but no one ever sees it.
Right.
And so that person, after a while, starts going, man, I keep hearing that person get thanked, and I don't get thanked.
Yeah.
So it's important to ask them, what are they most proud of? What have you done that makes you feel exhilarated about here? What do you know, another great question is, what do you love about working here?
Yeah.
Get them to say those kind of things out loud. Okay, and then praise them for those things because they need to be praised for some of the things that you don't even get a chance to see.
Yeah.
All right, and it's tell them you're not bragging, you're informing me. This is about our meeting, about us sharing information because I want to let you know that I don't have my eyes on you 24 hours a day.
Right, you can't.
I can't possibly, but I want to let you know that I really appreciate it when you do great things for our company.
Yeah,
and I want to thank you personally when I hear about those things. So share them with me. Share them with the crowd. Yeah, well, let's all get better together.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's cool. Wow, this is one of my favorite episodes. It's absolutely my favorite episode of the day. Okay,
perfect.
All right, so let's jump into N, and that is nurturing personal and professional growth. We kind of jumped over something on this other one, but this works here as well, and that is when we were talking about C, creating a supportive environment. This is nurturing personal and professional growth. You want them to grow as individuals.
Right.
There are some people who are like, look, I just come here for my paycheck. I want to get my job done, collect my money, and go home. That's fine. We need a lot of those people. All right. But I still want to encourage them to find some excitement, some passion in their job. So you encourage them to learn new things. And some of that comes up with working with mentors. All right. And it's a great way when you have older employees who are working with you, you sometimes got to say, hey, we're going to have a group meeting, and you go to somebody who's been working there for 15 years longer than you, and you say, share a shortcut, share a problem that you faced a long time ago and how you guys overcame it and why we don't do it that way anymore. Do something to get these guys to be able to share that experience that, like the pyramids, the information will just disappear if we don't talk about it, right? And so it's really important to allow older people to become mentors to you. I've got two mentors that I speak with every week, one Monday mornings and another guy Wednesday mornings, and they're both more than 20 years older than me.
Okay,
so that means they're practically dead.
Right.
But but it's really important that I have conversations with them because, first off, it points out the direction I'm in. Like, wow, these guys are great. They're active in that 20 years from now, right? But also, they have faced a lot of problems that maybe I'm facing now or I will be facing.
Right.
And so I talk to them, how do we do this? How do we do this? And they'll say, well, back in my day, we did it this way. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, we have different technology now and we can have honest, open conversations. But I can always learn something from them.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, that I teach kids. So I teach kids as young as 7 years old. And it's great to pick their brains because they connect me to a younger version of me. And so when you get a mentor of some type, it's good to have people older than you, younger than you, your same age group, a group that you can surround yourself with that you can constantly learn and grow from.
Yeah. Okay. It's all about that added perspective.
Exactly. I'm looking at the time. It's 7:55. We've got about 5 minutes left. So this has been a good, very quick hour.
Yeah.
So with this nurturing personal growth, some of the other stuff is this, is don't miss a coaching opportunity. When somebody does something great, we talked about praising them in public, praising them in private, but don't miss it as a coaching opportunity. In other words, what you're going to go is say, hey, can you explain to the group what you did, what the problem you ran into, and how you solved this? This is tremendous. It's another way to praise them, and it's a cool way to teach everyone else something that he already faced an obstacle and overcame. And it gives that person pride to go, you want me to share it with everyone? Yeah, share it with everyone. Let's all learn from this and let's move forward. So it's important to understand that. It's also important to understand or give your people the opportunity to learn, whether it's here's a great book you should read, here's a podcast to listen to, here is a movie to watch. It's about truck drivers. I don't know. but something where they can grow and evolve and learn something new. That's what's important. Tell them during a weekly meeting. Everyone, you know, let's say you have a group meeting. You say everyone gets the chance to bring something from the news that can affect our business.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. And I think that in itself makes them focus on the business outside of work.
Right.
Looking for something, and all of you learn together. And it's not always you as the manager bringing in the information. It's your team sharing information.
Yeah, I think that's big. Just always have it be in the forefront of their minds.
Exactly. And just keep moving forward like that. Okay. And then obviously it's performance reviews. We always talk about this, and I hate companies that only have a yearly performance review.
Yeah.
And the manager never talks to you until a year, and you're like, oh, I'm getting this review. I think I'm going to get a raise. This is exciting. I haven't talked to my boss in a year. And then the boss goes, yeah, it's been a bad year. You don't follow direction. You do this wrong. And you're like, really?
Yeah.
So not only have I been going in the wrong direction, my expectations is I think I've been doing a good job.
Right.
And the manager has waited a year to tell me this.
Yep.
So the manager is really screwed up because he hasn't filled in this information for all this time. So it's really important to communicate clearly, openly with your people on a regular basis. All right.
Yeah.
So with the last couple of minutes, Nate, what's your big takeaway from this meeting? I'm throwing it right at you.
Yeah.
So I figured you might do something with this book, the Bible for your company.
Absolutely.
This idea of giving ownership to the people to write it themselves.
Yep. And encouraging ideas, being willing to let them edit the Bible.
Yes.
Overseeing it. I mean, it's kind of like you want to look at it like Wikipedia.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody can edit it, but there is still someone overseeing it to make sure that it is still falling within the guidelines.
That is it exactly. That is it exactly. And just keeps it evolving and changing and growing, but it's something that everyone can refer to and, like you said, and tweak it and improve it.
And I think a feeling of ownership, a feeling of being their opinions being respected, and just a feeling of value will help drive the motivation up with your team.
Fantastic, fantastic. All right, so thank you all so very much for tuning into WRLR.FM 98.3, The Life. You've been listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalevin. My guest here has been Nate, the amazing Nate, who is just going to grow and blossom into this incredible manager you're going to see. I just like saying these things to watch him blush. We are going to continue this conversation the second Monday of every month throughout the entire year, just the lessons that young managers should learn, and we're going to share some stories, and I'm going to learn from Nate, as well as I hope Nate can learn a few things from me. In the meantime, next week, we're going to be talking to Tiffany again, and it'll be part two for Tiffany's series about turning your side hustle into success. And then we'll be coming back the following week with Leslie Day, an HR representative. And so we'll be talking about some of the new Illinois state laws and stuff like that, and what you can and can't do, whether you're the employee or the owner. In the meantime, thank you very much. If you've missed part of this episode, you want to hear more, tune into the podcast at Bacon Bits with Master Happiness anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thank you again. Tune in next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Marty.
Take care.